All right, man. I'm going to go hit the bathroom before we start recording. I'll be right back.
All right, cool. I'll be here. Hello? What the heck was that?
Took you long enough to get the door, man.
What?
Hey.
What? Are you messing with me?
What do you mean? What? Oh, no. No, Mitchell, I think you went to the bathroom. My name's Mud Muncher.
What?
No.
You're joking, right? It sounds like some bad sound effects from an indie film. Like,
well,
what's going on?
You know what? I don't like the fact that my gnashing of teeth on the hell side of the door is a toy sound now. But the work that you guys are doing in this podcast and in your life and all of these prayers that you guys are saying every day are making it really hard for us on the side of the darkness. So I decided I had to come over here and let you know.
Oh, and you said your name's Mud Muncher?
Yeah, that's another thing. I've got demoted down in the stupid names list because we're losing power. You know, some of these prayers that you're doing are really hurtful. And I wanted you to know how they're affecting us.
That's sad. I feel, like, not bad at all about that.
Ha, very funny. Yo, I feel like the guy in charge down here, you know, red horns and pitchfork and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be sending us to shut you guys down.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
You know, even though the budget cuts that I mentioned, we're still powerful. We can still do it if we want to.
No, I don't think so. I bind you in Jesus' name.
Wait.
I send you back to where you came from.
Wait.
No.
That hurts. Stop it.
No, we're not going to deal with this, friend. So in Jesus' name, I bind you.
No.
I send two angels to grab you by the arms.
All right. Oh, okay.
And send you right back to where you came
from. All right, fine. I'm out of here. Okay, I'm out. I'm going. All right.
All right, I'm back. Ready to start?
All right. Yeah, we had some technical difficulties while you were gone, but I dealt with it. We're good.
Technical difficulties? What are you talking about?
Welcome to the Redacted Recover Your Mind podcast. Join us along our journey through the realms of spirituality, conspiracy, SRA, ancient history, cryptozoology, wellness of the body, mind, and more. From undisclosed locations across the country, the Redacted Recover Your Mind podcast will challenge you, stretch your perspective, and make you question your reality. With your hosts, Mitchell O'Brien and his brother, Lucas O'Brien, looking through the lens of recovery from substance use disorder, the paradigm shift starts here.
Welcome back to Redacted Recover Your Mind podcast. I'm Mitchell O'Brien, and I'm here today with Lucas O'Brien. Luke, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. Nice to be back.
Yeah, it is. I've been looking forward to this because you know that I put together a little project that I only spent a little bit of time on. We talked it over and we put it together. We do want to let everybody know, because we talk about some very serious, heavy things that we truly believe, that what you heard at the beginning of the episode was a joke. I think most people are going to get that. But we wanted to have a little bit of fun and make the kingdom of darkness look stupid.
Because they are.
So,
well, they're not stupid, but they're inept and
yeah,
not powerful like they like to make themselves out to be.
They are cunning. They are powerful, but they are the enemy. And I thought it was funny. But Lucas and I have been going through a lot of, would you call it deliverance ministry? Like, what exactly would you call it?
I mean, deliverance is probably a good, that triggers people in some ways, and they've had weird experiences and stuff, but essentially deliverance is the proper term. We have been working through prayer ministry to be delivered from things. Like, deliverance is freedom from things, to be taken. It's like a savior coming to deliver someone or bringing a delivery. So, like, we have been essentially getting back parts of our humanity and freeing ourselves from the bondage of the enemy. So deliverance is the term.
And before we started,
I say we've been going through some stuff.
Yeah, we've been. Well, and it kind of started when you went through some prayer coaching, and then you started sharing it with me, and I was like, I need this. So there are some books involved. I got some of those books. I think I'm going to put a link to the books in, or at least the first one, in the description. And it's Prayers That Shake Heaven and Earth by Daniel Duval. And he's part of, or he is the head of Bride Ministries, and they do a deliverance ministry, and there's a church involved with it too. And the church, I wish we had a church like that around where I live. I'd be there every Sunday. And probably more. But yeah, it's not the kind of deliverance that I've ever thought about. You know, when before this, when I thought deliverance, I thought, you know, people laying hands on each other, which now I've learned can be very dangerous. You have to be very selective and let the Spirit guide you when you do that. Being in a church sanctuary and people falling on the floor after a pastor or preacher says some you know, amazing sounding things, and or a group of people with their hands on you praying in a circle in gibberish. And I mean, that was my experience with deliverance before this. It really was. And not that all of that is necessarily wrong, but I think that people are kind of walking around with a gun without the safety on when it comes to some of it, especially with the laying on the hands thing. Like, especially if you're dealing with somebody that is demonically oppressed or possessed, that's a very easy way to transfer that to yourself.
Well, and especially, like, deliverance can be the things that you just mentioned, but it can also be, I mean, it can be a lot of different things. And like you said, the laying out of hands, you have to be careful with it, especially when it's combined with tongues. Because if the people don't know, I guess they haven't been delivered from the things that are in them, and they're praying tongues over some, it can be demonic tongues. Yeah. And those demonic tongues, like, they can be casting spells and incantations over someone using a language that the person doesn't understand. They think they're praying through the Holy Spirit if they don't know what they're doing. And that it can be really dangerous. And now you've got laying out of hands, a direct energy transfer from one human being to another with demonic incantations over them. And, like, that's dangerous stuff. So laying out of hands is really powerful in the opposite direction as well. It can be really freeing. Somebody who has the Holy Spirit lays hands on you and speaks either in, you know, the word, their language you understand, or in holy tongues, it'd be extremely powerful, but it can also be extremely powerful the other way. People don't know.
And people are easily deceived, I think. And I've shared on the podcast with you times where I have laid my hand on somebody and felt the darkness, and this is the journey that I chose to take that from them. And honestly, I'm starting to see that I probably only, it didn't take all of it from them. It probably just infected me as well, like a sickness. It was something that I had to deal with.
Like a virus.
Yeah, yeah, really. You know, it's like now that demon has authority in that person and me. And I was under this impression, which was also probably from demonic oppression, that I was taking that effect from them, bringing it to me, and then I was able to dissipate it. And I am going to go on record to say that my believing that was unintelligent. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit behind you to do things like this. You have to be careful. And I've been in churches where people have like, well, I've had people pray healing over me, and I've had people pray, and it's like nothing ever happens. Well, it's because either you or the person praying over you aren't properly equipped with the Holy Spirit or ready or want it, or you have other doorways in your life. And there's so many different combinations of what it can do.
Yeah.
I truly believe that a lot of what's happening is spreading more darkness than light. And it's kind of what the dark side of the veil there has been trying to build this American Christian church to be this way. Cause they're like, you know, they're going to see us as an angel of light, and we're going to be in the backside, just spreading around, oppressing people, giving people sickness and illness. What do you feel about that?
I feel there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of that going on. And it brings to mind the scripture where Jesus talks about essentially, I can't remember the exact reference, but getting rid of a tenant. Like, you kick them out, and you get the room in order, and you clean it all up, and it looks all nice. And so they go get, like, six of their buddies and come back sevenfold and come back to a nice swept house ready for them to come back in, because it hasn't, like, you haven't actually dealt with the problem.
Right.
And I think what he's speaking to is actually a much deeper concept than we realize, and it has to do with doorways and access points and portals and things like that in our human system, all three parts of our human system. And so you can have physical doorways, like not actual physical doorways, but doorways in your body, doorways in your soul, heart and soul, and then doorways in your spirit. And these are things because of sin. In the body, it can be things like intense exhaustion, alcohol use or drug use, sexual sin, fornication, doing sexual things that were not part of God's design, even within a husband and wife relationship.
Right.
Because just because you're married doesn't mean you can do anything you want sexually. There are things that are not in proper order. Many things that are not in proper order. I'm not going to list them or go into them, but you can figure that out on your own.
If anybody heard the episode with midget anal play at the beginning of it, that's what I was talking about. But, sorry.
Not directly, but yeah, I mean, that would be part of it.
I put in our description that we're not your grandma's Jesus show. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, doorways in the soul can be unforgiveness. It can be holding on to the things you shouldn't. There's a lot of different things that could be there. Bitterness, anger, hatred. Doorways in the spirit can be bloodline iniquity, things passed down from past generations. There's a lot of different things in all the different areas that can be doorways. And essentially, I think what Jesus is talking about in that parable is, like, you can kick the demon out, but if you don't close the doorway, you're just asking more to come back. And then it's like alcoholism. You know, you're like, I'm going to stop drinking. Oh, that's good if you're an alcoholic, but have you dealt with any of the issues that you have? Because anybody that's dealt with alcoholism knows that it's generally deep spiritual fracturing and horrible hurt in the soul that causes this. It's loneliness, it's abuse, it's all sorts of different issues that, and that's why you're drinking. So drinking is a physical manifestation of a soul problem or a spirit problem. And if you don't deal with the soul or spirit problem, you can stop drinking, but you're either going to go back to that or you're going to go to something else.
Well,
and it's going to come back harder each time. So you get rid of it, and then it comes back harder the next time. And you get rid of it, and it's even worse the next time.
It's the same. It's the exact same as the whole demonic coming back in sevenfold. And that's what I was going to say, but then you said it. So, like, I can tell you right now that every time that I tried to quit drinking and then started drinking again, it came back so much worse. It was never less, never. But I wanted to mention, you brought up the doorways and stuff like that. And there's so many different things that can be spiritual doorways for oppression. Video games, certain kinds of music, things that you can watch on TV, you know, anything, you know, stuff like that can be all these different doorways. But there's also one thing, how do I transition that? In that, you know, I mentioned the book, Prayers That Shake Heaven and Earth, and in it is cleansing your home. And I've also heard from Dr. Rebecca Brown in her books about cleansing homes and anointing them with oil. And I was happy when Danny Duvall's book mentioned anointing it with oil. And something they were very specific about was when you do that, you have to anoint every window and doorway in your home. It doesn't go in too much detail past that, but when they're very specific about something that you need to do, there's a reason for it. These physical doorways have spiritual implications in them. Blurry Creatures had a episode, you had asked me about it, called The Detention Dimension, where they went through a doorway and it was like they were in a different dimension, and they went back through the doorway eventually and it's like they were back. And it was a doorway, an actual door with hinges in a school. People all the time, and this is going to sound like speculation, and it kind of is, but people all the time will get up and go into another room and completely forget why they went there. And science has this psychological reason for it, but it just shows that right there in the real world, there's implications that doorways, there's something special about them, be it on brain level or not. For me, the brain level, the spirit level, the soul level, like they're all connected. So if it's affecting me when I physically go through a door, it's affecting me the other ways too. So
yeah, your physical body goes through a portal, but your psyche doesn't come with you at times.
Yeah.
It stays in the other room on the other side of that portal. And I use the term portal just because that's I'm using it because it gives this idea of dimensional shift, but in the physical reality, like my bedroom is a dimension of my home and my living room is a different dimension and my hallway is a different dimension. I think if we thought more that way, like we like to mystify these things and make them so different, but a portal is from one area to another area.
Yeah.
A doorway is a portal. A portal is a doorway. A window is a portal. A window is a doorway. Is a portal. Is a access point. Is it, you know, like they're all the same thing. We just have different names for them. It's like a door is a physical thing that we use. A window we use for a slightly different purpose. But if you can open a window and go out it, it's a doorway.
Right.
You know. So if you start to see these things that way, your mind is a doorway into your heart.
Right.
Your
eyes are a window to your soul.
Yeah. Eyes are a doorway. The ears are a doorway. The nose is a doorway. Like all of our senses are doorways into the soul.
Well, and to go into a little bit of personal experience, I mentioned, you know, blessing and anointing the house and cleansing it. It's something that I read in, I don't know if it was Prepare for War or which one of Rebecca Brown's books, but it was one of them. And they were talking about how you really need to do that. Anytime you go into a new home that you're going to be living in, like, that's something that's very important. And for some reason, I couldn't do it. There was a block. It's like I wanted to do it. I knew I needed to do it. And I just couldn't. So then I got these books from Daniel Duvall that you had recommended because of the coaching that you had went through. And I'm reading through it, and I want to, and you, maybe this gives you an opportunity to talk a little bit about the Archie here in a minute, but I wanted to engage in what they call the Archie. And you recommended, I had a little bit of a vision one day where I thought I was being messaged from there by my spiritual ruler. And some of these terms, if you're just logging, if you're just logging on for the first time, you're probably not going to understand. But I would say listen to some of the other podcasts that we've done, or also check out Bride Ministries, or what's the podcast that Daniel Duvall does?
Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. There's also, I met a man recently who does deliverance ministry on a personal basis with a lot of people. And he also trains and equips people. He lives in the same town that I do and goes to the church that we're affiliated with and the men's group I started to go to. And he gave me like 15 names of other people who are doing deliverance ministry right now, actively, like Dan Duvall. And I can't remember a single one of them. So I'm going to get that list and start looking into them. Because what he said, he had never heard of Dan, and he's like, it sounds like they do good work. Like, you went through some of it and you've had, you know, some deliverance and stuff. Like, don't get stuck on one person who's doing a thing and idolize them, because God gives different ministries and different people different revelation. Right. And so he's like, take all the good from one and all the good from another and all the good from another and just pile them and make sure it's all aligning with scripture. And so I'm excited to get into some of these other names too, and hopefully give more resources to people as I learn about them and kind of vet them. But Dan Duvall and his work has shown fruit, from my understanding. So yeah, definitely a good place to start.
So, and I kind of see there's a lot of truth in that too. In my journey here, it's been, I'm exposed to a source and I learn something from it. And then that source kind of exposes me to another source. And I'll, my example is I was trying to learn, like it was early on in my days doing the Redacted podcast. And so I just started. One thing that my podcast mentor has told me is, especially even when writing blogs too, he said, if you want to learn how to podcast, you want to learn how to write blogs, go listen to some, find out what you like, and then try to learn how to do what you like from different sources, which is almost a direct analogy to what I'm talking about. But and Nate and Luke call it chew the meat and spit out the bones. But I was going through these different podcasts, and I was trying to find something that looked kind of interesting to me to even begin to listen, and that's where I found Blurry Creatures. And the first episode I ever heard was one of the ones with, it was the second or third one they ever did with Timothy Alberino, the Aliens Have Bodies episode. And then I immediately told you about it. I was like, you have to hear this. And then, I don't know, within the next 2 days, you had listened to all 200 other episodes. And
it's a couple weeks.
I was trying to listen to them and stuff, and then you're like, yeah, I'm like on episode 157. I was like, oh my, what?
And you're like, oh, that's cool. Where did you start? I'm like, episode one. Yeah. Where else would I start?
Yeah.
To be fair, I was only working part-time at the time, and I was still dealing with a lot of the health issues I had, and I was doing a lot of work in the yard on our property. And so I had a lot of time to just like put on a podcast and do minor construction work. So.
Well, and there's purpose behind that, though. Like, you had the time to find that stuff, and, you know, it's brought you on the journey you are today. But then we're on Blurry Creatures podcast, and then we find, you know, I heard a Daniel Duvall episode on there, and it kind of, you know, you went on there and listened to things that took you on different journeys and different trails and different directions, and we kind of brought stuff that we were learning to each other, and you know, and then you got into the Bride Ministries prayer coaching, which was been amazing. Just standing on the outside of it and the things you've shared and how it's affected me also, giving me guidance and things that I should do, has been amazing. And so I can only imagine that you going through with it, like, this, the feeling that it gives you of actual change has been huge. And then you meet this gentleman that you're talking about that's giving you these other resources, and it is, it's just like this step where we're moving through different resources. In there, that's where I found the Rebecca Brown books, He Came to Set the Captives Free, and I went on that rabbit hole, and when I got in there, she recommended a couple other books, so I went on that rabbit hole, and I started to learn about the soul and the spirit and stuff like that. And that was right before you went into your prayer coaching. And it's just like all of these things are coming together to form an actual solid belief. And they're coming from many different sources. And I think... go ahead.
And I was going to say, it's a term that we used to use a lot that we haven't mentioned a lot lately, but true Christianity. Like, it's showing us true Christianity. And I've heard a lot of people that are like, oh yeah, deliverance, whatever. And like, there's a passage in the scriptures that says, deliverance is the children's bread. So we are children of God. And this is a cool thing that Tom, the man that I mentioned earlier, brought up at the men's group yesterday. He said, we are all children of God. If you're human, you're a child of God. Now, we are not all sons of God.
Right.
Sons of God are washed by the blood of the Lamb, they are set free and redeemed, and they start to act like Big Brother Jesus. Right. He's the firstborn of many brothers. He's the firstborn of the resurrection. And we are supposed to look like him. He is our model. We are the ones that are to be like him. And so as sons of God, and I'm not just saying men, by the way. There are sons and daughters of God, but the term in scripture is sons of God, because we are all sons of God with inheritance as sons. There's a reason for the term. Like, when a woman is saved, yes, she is a daughter of God, but she becomes one of the sons of God.
Right.
It's not that there's not male and female. It has to do with the office of the authority of a son.
Right.
And that's lost in understanding in our modern society, but there's a reason it's termed that way, and if we actually understand the terms that are used, it makes sense. So, as sons of God, we are empowered to go out and set the captives free. That is part of being a son of God. It's not, go tell them Jesus is great and you need to get them saved. Like, yes, that's true. But it's so much more than that. It's to free them from their bondage, free them from the iniquity of their bloodline, free them from their addictions and their pains and their heartaches, and to help bring people into wholeness so that we can then fight against the darkness, and so that we can free more people and bring them into wholeness. It's not, I used to cuss and now I don't. It's, I was a broken vessel who didn't understand just any of what I was dealing with in life. And now I am whole and functioning. I have a family. I have a business. I have, like, these are things that are fruit of being a child of God. You become a whole functioning person. You're no longer addicted. You're no longer confined by the things of this life, essentially. Like, I mean, you're still going to have difficulties. You're still, like, money's still a thing you have to deal with. You still have to work hard. You still have to be successful. But all of a sudden, you can't, because you have the capacity to do that, because you're freed from all the junk of your past, all the trauma, all the heartache, all the stuff that was passed down from your grandparents, your parents, your great grandparents, and down your ancestral line that you don't even know about, like the ancestral witchcraft that came up while I was going through deliverance. He asked me some questions like, "Oh, do you know about any of that?" I'm like, "No, other than what the Holy Spirit just showed me. Like, I no idea, but apparently there's blood magic in our past."
Can I speak on that for a minute? I've always wanted to know why we don't know more about our family. Why there's like this shroud, and a little bit on my mom, on our mom's side, but like on our dad's side, there's like a shroud of nothingness after our grandfather. There's very little spoken about it. And even the generations, you know, just, you remember dad growing up, he just would not talk about his past. There's this shroud of not being able to do it. And it's just like that got deeper and darker as it went on. And we're kind of understanding why now. You know, like you said, the blood, what'd you say, blood magic?
Yeah, well, and that was specifically on mom's side.
Oh, but still, you know.
But anyway, I mean, it's interesting when you start to learn about bloodlines because our name means noble. Which has to do with being of nobility, which is of royal blood. And I'm not making some claim that we're kings and need to be treated as such or whatever, but like,
yeah,
bloodlines are important because of the defilement of the fallen angels. And after some of the things I've learned, I would not be surprised if we trace back to some sort of fallen angel bloodline because of just what our name means, the history on our parents' side. And talking to Tom, he looked at me and he goes, I told him just a little bit about me and some of the deliverance that we dealt with, and then a little bit about you. And he goes, sounds like you guys have some major stuff in your family. And I was like, yeah, I don't even know most of it. But I know there's more. And names are really important. That's one of the things. Names are really important, and there's a reason we have the names that we do, especially surnames.
Yep.
And tracking that back and finding that, it's very hard. Like Mitchell said, in our family, on our dad's side, you just don't talk about that at all. And if it's brought up, it's shut down. And on my mom's side, I mean, there's part of our grandpa's side of the family that doesn't exist on paper. He was said to be involved with the mafia, and when he died, he was unexisted. His children lived on, so his bloodline lived on, but it's like that part of the family tree was like, nope, not on there anymore, and you can't find history of it. So it's like, what was going on there? You know, what was, I don't know.
Everybody called Uncle Mike crazy for saying we had connections with the mafia down the line. Everybody call him crazy. Yep. Rest his soul, but like, it's now we're like, yeah, I'm on that boat too.
Right. We're just straight.
Right. It's just been it's been kind of wild, especially when you speak to people like that. I had a similar situation, and I sometimes question her sources, and I always make sure to go in objectively. And I think I know you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't want to call anybody out by name, but that have said similar. Like, there is serious purpose behind our bloodline. We are here to do a job, and it involves freeing us, ourselves, and the people around us, and that's going into the world. And that comes from, that message came from more of a New Age background. There's some Christianity involved in it, but it's a little bit of a mixture. But it's just, it, and when we say these things, we're trying to say them with humility. We really are. But it's hard to sound humble. It's difficult to sound humble when you start realizing who you are and what your purpose is. Because we're not going to, hide it anymore. We're here for a purpose, for a reason.
But here's the thing, that if you're listening to this podcast, you were brought into the world for this time for a purpose. And your purpose is not to be one who takes the mark of the beast and becomes something that's not human anymore and gives up your right and inheritance as a child of God. There's a lot of people that are going to do that. Your spirit chose to come to this world at this time so that you could affect this world in the way that it needed to be for the good, aligned with God. And you can be manipulated and you can be taken over to the side of darkness, but whether we're of noble blood and you're not, or we're not and you are, doesn't matter. None of that actually, I mean, it matters in your mandate, your calling on this earth. But what matters is that you understand who you are in Christ, that you have been called as a child of God for a time like this, and you can affect change in this world, and you can go out and you can change the literal reality around us. Mm-hmm. If you start to understand who you are. And getting yourself free is a ripple effect, because the things that you're bound by, other people are bound. And when you start to get set free from them, other people start to get set free from things that they don't even realize. Because you break down heavenly strongholds that you're held, parts of you are held in, held captive in. And when you break that down with Jesus, you know, it's not just you, it's Jesus and his heavenly hosts that are doing the work. We just partner with them to find freedom for ourselves and for other people. When we do that, those strongholds are broken down. When those strongholds are broken down, people that don't even know they're bound there get set. And their lives start getting better. And then when that starts happening all over the place, people all over the place are getting free from stuff they didn't even know they had, because they're not even trying to get free. Other people are getting free around them, and it's set them free. And it's this amazing ripple effect that Jesus has put into place so that we can affect the entire world with change. But instead, we get so bound up in darkness, we listen to the enemy and we think that we're worthless, pathetic, and we'll never be good for anything. And we get all these voices in our head, and then people believe that. And like, that's not your creator. That's not your father.
No.
Your father says you are loved and cherished and you are worth something and you have a purpose. The enemy says you're worthless. You'll never be good for anything. Just do the drugs. Just sleep around. Just don't, you know, don't be effective in anything. Go just work your job and you know, do a half-assed job the entire time. You don't have to try hard. You don't have to. And there's the other side of what the enemy does, and he'll make you really, really successful in the physical by giving up spiritual inheritance as well. So you have to watch out for that too. That's a whole nother.
And I was going to say that I see two different purposes for why the enemy does that. And it's kind of, they hate humanity from the beginning. Look through Genesis and some of the Apocrypha and you'll understand why. We don't necessarily have time to go through all of that today, but the enemy hates humanity. So they want to degrade us as much as absolutely possible, but they also degrade us down to make us feel worthless. So they can then build us up in their demonic power to use us for their agenda. And that's all it is. They're going to make you feel loved at certain points. They're going to make you feel powerful at certain points. But it's only so they can take your dominion as a human being on this earth and push their agenda. As soon as you stop doing that again, you're doing that for them. You are worthless to them. But you are never worthless to Jesus. You are never worthless to the Father. Never. It doesn't matter what you've done. You can always come back. You're going to have to pay penance for some of the things that you've done. You know, it's going to be difficult. But I wanted to share, I wrote a blog for work yesterday. And you're going to laugh at me when you hear, I've done this twice now, the source for my quotes that I've used in a couple of my blogs. But
Taylor Swift?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I was talking about being capable now, being more capable now than I was in my years of active addiction. And that I talked about the Cherry Festival and stuff, because that's all going on in the background. But the quote I used was, "You'll laugh at your fears when you find out who you really are." And that sounds really profound, right?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds kind of like what we're talking about. Like, you become an awakened son of God and step into your true dominion in true Christianity as a son of the Heavenly Father. Like, isn't that a perfect quote for that?
Yeah.
Now, do you want to guess where I got it from, or do you want me to just tell you?
So, like, Dr. Seuss?
Dragon Ball Z. Old Piccolo says that.
Hey, Piccolo was wise for being a high-pitched whistle.
Yeah. Green alien high-pitched whistle. But... no, I like to sneak them in there because nobody in my realm of the recovery world really understands that part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody says anything about it. They'll be like, "That was a really good quote." I'll be like, "Yeah, I thought so too."
Yeah. What was the writer's name?
The what?
You remember? Akira Toriyama or something like that?
Yeah, Akira Toriyama.
Akira, yeah. There was some wisdom to the things that he said, and there's a lot of interesting symbology in Dragon Ball Z. Like, you know, we're not creating spirit bombs and destroying planets.
Are we
necessarily?
Not?
We're not necessarily. But yeah, that might be a different discussion. So I won't completely say that, but, the occult has some pretty crazy things that they do. I've listened to some really interesting interviews lately of people who have been saved out of the occult, and they're like, yeah, the first thing that they teach you how to do is to make an orb of light so that you can light up dark places. And then they teach you how to go invisible. And then they teach you how to shoot energy to, you know, nullify other humans so that you can get past, like, just crazy stuff. So you're like, what? That's possible? It's like, yeah, it's possible. And it's demonic because that's how, like, the demons empower you to do it. But it's possible because the human being has that capability. We're just disconnected from it because we have proven to not be able to use it justly. Hence the fall of man.
Right.
And in our resurrected form, when we are made complete, as the gospel says, you know, when we are given a new body to rule the heavens and the earth with Christ, we will probably have, well, not probably, we will have those capabilities. We'll just use them justly because we'll understand it will be complete at that point. But those things are possible. Like, there's wisdom to the stuff that he put in that show, even as dumb as it is, and as, you know, all the sexual innuendos and the stupid jokes and all the names, like, there's still wisdom in there.
Yeah, and that's why I think that there's a lot of stuff that comes out in media that is true in both directions. But I think it was Watchman Nee's book, The Latent Power of the Soul. Is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's across the room. he said that all of these things that are happening in the occult are possible because they are an original... well, not all of them, because some of them are direct demonic influence, but there are a lot of them that are possible because they were how we were originally created to be before the fall. But the terms of the discipline or the punishment of the fall is that these got taken away. And then we have to go through this whole process of this era that we're living in, which is recorded throughout the Bible and then ever since, that trying to take up those abilities, they have to be unlocked. And we're told that they're unlocked when Jesus comes for his final triumph over the darkness in the second coming. But the occult and the satanic brotherhood, they unlock them with demons. And I have actual experience that I don't know if I've ever told you this about, told you about this. I'm going to Yoda it.
Yoda.
Yeah.
I think we call it yodeling.
Yodeling? With an A instead of an E.
Yeah, yodeling.
Yodeling. No, I realize it's demonic now, but I didn't at the time. I was trying to do a lot of energy work in my early spiritual awakening, and I went the New Age way. And I think that people listen to this podcast from the beginning, they'll notice and watch and hear the shift. And I hope that they stay for all of it, because I feel like I'm getting to a much better place. But I learned just by, I had this desire to help people is what it was. And I wanted to be able to, I learned that you could charge up your spiritual energy, and that you could, through your chakra systems and your soul power, you could charge up your energy and you could use it, and it can affect you physically in a good way. You can feel better. You can feel more awake. You can, and things like this. This is something that I learned that you can do through New Age teachings. And I was never part of a New Age church. I never had a title or anything like that, but I would Google things and I would learn things and I would weed through it and try to figure out, well, you know, what could I try that actually felt like it was working? And the one principle was energy transfer. So I was learning how to charge up my energy and use it for my own benefit. But then I found out that, and you're gonna feel it right as soon as I say this. You're gonna feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that if you charge up that energy and you hold it in your heart, you can then ask your angels to then take it to somebody else. And you can put intention on that, and they can then use that energy for that intention that you give them. How messed up is that?
I mean, it sounds really nice.
Okay.
Because the way you worded it, because that's the way that it, they say it to you. It sounds like, oh, like you can hold love and you can just send them love and then they can use that love, or you can send them strength in a time of need and they can use that strength. And it's like, yeah, that's the white witchcraft side of it.
Yeah. And that was my intention, and that's how I did it, because what I'm telling you the story because I did it and it worked. Yeah. And it wasn't like,
and you can also, you can do the same thing
with,
and you can focus like, hatred.
Yeah.
And you can destroy people with it.
That's what made me think about this. Is I learned about this. I did it. So my intention is I charged up my energy, and my intention was that I was going to send my girlfriend at the time love and strength and perseverance, because she was going through a difficult time. And I didn't tell her I was doing this, and I did it. And then I prayed to these angels, and 3 minutes later, I'm kind of picking the time, but it was very quickly, I get a text message. What did you just do? From this person.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she goes through, and you know, the feelings that she felt were more romantic than what I had assumed, but, or intended, but they were all positive things. And I was like, holy crap. Like, that didn't just work. That worked exactly the way it said that would.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think at the time that you can curse just as easily through that mechanic as you can bless. I was going for blessings. It looked like it worked, but what I'm hoping people are trying to pick up what I'm insinuating here is, who are these angels? You know, I was focused digging through all of these New Age processes. I always believed in God and believed that Jesus was, you know, the Messiah and the resurrected King and my Savior. But I wasn't learning this from these sources. I wasn't learning these practices from these sources. I feel like that is, you put your energy in the hands of demons and then they do what you want just to get you hooked and realize that it's real. and then they get you deeper and deeper and deeper into it. I'm blessed because sources like the journey that you and I have been going through have pulled me the other direction. But I can see from that taste and that experience that how it pulls people into the darkness so hard if they don't get that exposure to the light, to God, to the Savior.
What it does is it gives you a taste of power, and you like that. You like feeling powerful. And what the enemy will do is he'll, depending on your personality, if you lean towards, I want to help people, then he goes, oh, you can help people. Let me show you how to help people. And then you get this immense power of helping people. And you think, well, this has to be good because I saw that person healed a little bit. I saw that person comforted. I saw this has to be a good thing. And yes, those are good things that are happening, but that doesn't mean it comes from a good source because the enemy cloaks himself as an angel of light. And his messengers also come as angels of light. So you can do good things from a false place. You can also do evil things from that same place. So if you're an angry, vindictive person who just wants to destroy, he'll give you that power too. And it comes from the same source. It can be used for good or evil, light or dark. It's all from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's that light and dark perspective. It's white witchcraft and black witchcraft. Or you can get it from the true holy source, the tree of life, not the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but the tree of life, the wellspring of life, the fountain of living water. And you can ask of him to give to those people, and you start to see true fruit and changes in their life. And instead of comfort for the moment, their heart gets healed over time. So, and then they have true shalom in their inner man.
Peace. I'm gonna hit you with a question. I know the answer, and I don't feel this way anymore, but I'm gonna hit you with the question that I had. If I find a way and I can do it myself, why would I ask somebody else to do it for me? That's how I felt at one point. I don't feel that way anymore. I have an answer for it. I have an answer for it. And it's because if you want to be on the winning side, an awakened son of God, and you want to be on the side that's eventually, you know, when all of the everything plays out the way that they say it's going to, and I 100% believe it will, and it's going to, and it is as we speak, that you have to live by the terms and conditions of the reality we're in. You have to live by the discipline that's been put in place because of the fall of man. And those terms and conditions are, we're here to learn how to rely on the Holy Spirit and the Father. We're not here to figure it out on ourselves by ourselves. We're promised in the scriptures that our resurrected bodies are going to have these powers or something very similar, you know, for what we need. But to access them now is living in a spirit of rebellion, and that pushes you away. So that's why I've lived out this whole experience. That's why I asked you that and was like, I'm asking you because I know the answer.
And so I have a question for you in a second, but I want to say this first, and I brought this up before. We are children our entire life here.
Right.
We are learning. Like you just said, we're learning. But I think human beings are like butterflies. In proper form, we're actually like caterpillars. This human life, this body, is, this is going to sound weird, and I'll explain the context, but this human life is for us to consume so that we can grow.
Right.
It's all about consumption. We bring in experience. We bring in understanding and knowledge, And I've talked about this before, but knowledge is to truly know something, which is experience.
Right.
You have to experience something to have knowledge of it. You can have head knowledge, as we say. That's just knowing of something in the mind, but you have to truly experience it to know it. So life is about experience and true knowledge. As we go through life and we experience these things, and it's really about experiencing things like love and hate and joy and peace and discomfort and having this understanding of all these different things and what is truly good in the world and what is truly bad, and choosing the good and bringing the good into the world through the bad, and fighting through the darkness and bringing light into the world. All of this is just us consuming so that we can grow to a certain point and then go into our chrysalis form as a cocoon when we go into the ground, and then rise up a new creation with something beyond what we can even comprehend as capital. That's the form that he's made us. It's a three-part process. We're just children. You live to 100 years old, you're just a child.
Well, look
at 31, at 31, I'm realizing the more I know, like, I know a lot of stuff. I am not a dumb person. I have acquired homes in a short period of life and a lot of experience in a short period of life. And the more I know, the more I realize, the less I know. I've heard so many people that are like, you know, 60 plus that say that, but I'm realizing that now. Like, the more I know, the less I know.
Yep.
And that doesn't make sense when you're younger. Like, I was in my 20s and my dog. I got all this figured out. I'm so smart. And I'm starting to realize, like, I've got a logical mind. I can figure a lot of stuff out. But I was also a just complete dumbass in so many ways. And I still am. Like, I'm still working a lot of things. And I still make a lot of stupid mistakes. But I'm realizing more and more, like, I'm just scratching the surface. And so when we're trying to do all this spiritual stuff and tap into these powers and stuff, we have no idea what we're getting into. Oh, and we're not going to on this side of life because we're just children. We don't even enter adolescence until we die, essentially. Like, and things will rise up and we'll start to be in an adult form when we are given a new body in the resurrection. You know, that's like turning 30. You're finally developed fully at that point once we get our new bodies. And so then we can start to truly be wise. Until then, we have to rely on the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We rely on them because they are the hierarchy. They are the master and commander. We go to them because they have the knowledge. They know what to do. We go, Dad, what do I do in this circumstance? And he will give us wisdom. And in the process, he's going to give us choices because that's how you teach a child. It's like you need to give them little bits of responsibility so that they can learn and they can grow and they can get better. So he's not always going to give you the exact answer. He'll guide you. And he'll let you make choices. He'll let you fail and fall and learn. And this is how you raise a child. This is our entire life. Again, if we live to be 100 years old, we're children learning from our fathers that entire time.
Yeah.
Because we're not even close to stepping into our true calling until we rise up in the resurrection.
Well, and I heard it in a podcast, I can't remember which one, recently, that they brought up the lifespans in the early scriptures. They're like, just compared to that, we don't ever mature past, you know, what was capable. Like, just imagine being 900 years old. And the experience and having a brain that could process all of that. And that's not even, that was a fallen state. And I think that after the flood, when God declared that 120 was the cap, which is, you know, you get those 124 years olds and stuff like that, whatever. But, that you hear about very rarely. But
very, very rarely.
I think, you know, the fall happened. We no longer had that access to the tree of life. that we had that was keeping us, because Timothy Alberino calls it two different kinds of immortality. I can't remember, inherent or, I can't remember the term, but one is basically you are a being that is immortal on your own, and the only being that holds that is God the Father, and then his counterparts, so Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the other aspects of his spirit, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anybody else, we were created to be immortal, but reliant on his resources. So even before the fall of man, in an unsinless form, you know, having that access to the garden where the tree of life was, is kind of what they're talking about there. But so man fell, and then you have these 700, 800, 900, almost 1,000-year lifespans. And all of this stuff happens, and it brings the earth almost to complete human extinction. There's one family that God can look at and be like, they're still fully human. And at the end of it, he wipes out everything. And I've heard some wild speculation on what actually happened during the flood recently and why there were giants after it. It involves spaceships and stuff like that, but I'm not going to get into that.
Spaceships and tunnels.
Yep. Portals. Stuff like
that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All of the above. Yeah. I mean, because it says even right there, just like it was like it now and after. So, but anyway. Then you have God come in and say, look, lifespan too long. We're going to give them 120 years. And I think it's because there's something, you know, we see what was happening to the world and the dominion when we had these longer lifespans. And so he's giving us this, like basic training here on earth. And the goal is to learn to be dependent on him. I think that's what the true goal is, to have this. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Rebecca Brown's one book talks about one of the things that God really wants from us and that will grow you more as a believer than anything else is having an experimental relationship with him. And it's a relationship based on experiences. And she said that it's not putting it above spending time in the Word. It's not putting it above any of these other things that they say that are crucial to having a relationship with God. It's not, but it's setting that at the same value as those, is having an experimental, which means a relationship based on experiences that you have with him and how important that is. And then that's kind of the purpose. And then there's all these different things that have happened throughout history that led up to, you know, Jesus and the crucifixion. That was crucial. But what changed about the physical existence then? You could argue not a ton. There was a big spiritual, a big spiritual difference is not even fair to say. Like the spiritual world, the spiritual world got flipped upside down when the crucifixion and the resurrection happened. But you still have these people that are on earth that are living the same lifespans. So there's still purpose in that mechanic of why God did that after the flood up until Jesus comes back the second time. I think it's what we're talking about. You know, we're here to learn. We're here for knowledge and experience. And I still, right now I'm sitting at, and I'm learning, obviously, in just the last year of doing this podcast. Like, I can tell you that I have learned a lot. And I know there's still a lot to learn, but I'm sitting right now that one of the most important things I think he wants us to do is to connect with him and have an experimental relationship with him and learn to be dependent on him. And that's how it works. And I think that's how the angels function. Even if you look at them as an elder race, like Timothy Alberino does, they have the power that they have I'm talking about the good guys, because the good guys are always beaten over the bad guys. And it's like, well, what's that? How does that work if they come from the same race? Shouldn't the bad guys be getting wins against them? Maybe they do, and they just don't write it down. I don't feel like that's the case. So they're connected and dependent on their power from the Father, and he wants us to do the same thing. And that's what we got to learn here. So when we get our resurrection that's promised to us in the end, that we can have that same relationship, have that same power, and walk and live in that same everything as, and I'll just drop, you know, the Gabriel, Michael, those angels that are on the good guy side, you know.
The archangels.
The archangels, yeah.
I'll let that simmer for you for a second. Also, the angels are very significant beings.
No.
We are created in the image of the Father.
Right.
And I'm just going to leave that statement there. And for those who have understanding, just let that sink.
Well, and think about it this way, because I agree with you and I disagree with you. It doesn't say that all, it never says anywhere that all of the angels are not created in the image of the Father's either.
That's true.
And Timothy Alberino talks about that. He's like, why do the angels look like us?
It also says, there's a difference between image and form.
True.
We view the same form, but of a different image.
And he thinks that it's,
and I think image, when it says we're created in the image of the Father, has to do with the triune nature. And I don't know, I can't think of anywhere where it says that they're made in the same triune nature of the Father. And it doesn't mean they're not.
I wouldn't necessarily say the same, but I do know that there is scripture, and I can't think of it off the top of my head. I was listening to, I think his name's Ali Saladana, in the new Blurry Creatures episode, and he was talking about how
smart dude.
You know, he was referring to archangels as sons of God. And I think that there are races of angels that are sons of God like we are. Now, not like exactly like we are. There can be differences. But they are in the family of the kingdom of heaven. And then there are angels that are not. And then there are races that are not. And that's where you get these, like, I don't think the Watchers were. I don't think the Watchers were the same kind of angels as archangels. I really don't. I think there's a completely different race. They had a different purpose, and they were servants of the kingdom of God at one point, I think. And then that changed. When they started, and then they came down and that whole debacle. But,
and I mean, and that was 200, so there could have been thousands. Or billions of Watchers as well. Like,
how many planets are there really? And we're talking about all this alien stuff that's going on, and the Insectolins, and they're obviously not created in God's image.
And actually, so Watcher is an interesting term, because it's also, I believe, translated as keeper, which would be a ward or a warden, which is a keeper. The traditional understanding, and again, we don't use language well anymore, right, is a protector. Right. So the Watchers were not just creeping on us. Like, right. The ones that came down were just creeping on us. They're like, ooh, they've got pretty women.
Well, we still have Watchers that are good. I believe.
Yeah. They're, well, keepers. Yeah. Technically, and I'm, this is speculation, this statement, but in technicality, based on the words used, guardian angels are Watchers.
Right.
As in, they are keepers. They oversee and protect us. And that's the same kind of thing that the Watchers, like, just based on the title, that is their job, is to oversee and protect. To oversee, protect, and guide. And that's the same thing that guardian angels do. Now, archangels are principalities with dominion of areas. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole deeper, you know, discussion and bigger thing than washing over individuals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Michael was considered the Prince of Israel in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And if he's the Prince of Israel, he is the Principality of Israel. Principalities aren't evil entities. Principalities are powers over areas. Right. And that's what that, you know, you were just referencing the Glory Creatures podcast that we both just listened to recently.
You are too.
Yeah, exactly. He talks about it, like, these are principles that we kind of knew, but he expands on it really, really well.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's principalities in different areas that are overseers, which may be the same as power spirits. We're not sure about that.
That's what I was just thinking. And, like, obviously the evil power spirits are the ones that are running their stuff, like the Prince of Persia and the Prince of Greece. Because they kind of postulate in that podcast that Michael's the Prince of, I think they said Jerusalem, but maybe it's Israel. Or maybe that's the same thing.
But Jerusalem's a city.
Right.
Israel's a nation. So he would be the principality of the nation.
Of the nation. And then there's the Prince of Persia and the Prince of Greece. And then they expand so much about it. But then we've talked about that pastor that Tony Merkel, I always forget his name or I always say it backwards, but Tony Merkel talked to and Blurry Creatures talked to, where I originally heard about Rebecca Brown's book, He Came to Set the Captives Free, and his story about the power spirit of somewhere in the Midwest and that. And then I feel like I've had contact with a power spirit locally. Not good contact. It was not good, and I haven't went back to that because I don't think I'm supposed to. But so it feels like a lot of these power spirits have defected.
Yeah.
Kind of where I'm at. But also,
a friend of mine had an experience playing disc golf on an Indian reservation where he had an attachment, and he said afterwards he felt like he got really, really sick, and his wife prayed over him and cast it out, and like he kind of got knowledge that afterwards that he went on territory that he didn't have a right to be on as a believer.
Oh.
Because he was an enemy of the territory, essentially. And so he went on territory where he was unwelcome, and it inflicted him because of that. And some people are like, oh, that doesn't happen to Christians. It does happen to Christians when they're unequipped.
Right.
And we talked about it, and he was like, yeah, like, I'm not. He's like, I realize I can't be going into places without thinking about it. I'm like, well, I don't see why you can't go play disc golf there if you have your armor on.
Right.
Did you put your armor on? And he goes, no, I started doing that recently. And I'm like, well, if you got your armor on, you can probably go play disc golf there. But if you don't pray for your armor, like, you're going in unprotected. Don't go on enemy territory unprotected. Also, don't go there to provoke them. But, like, hey, you're playing disc golf. You're not provoking. Like, you're not going in there casting out spirits and stuff. That's, if you don't have authority to cast something out in an area, then don't be going and doing that. If you have authority, by all means, go do it. Because the armies of heaven are back. But nothing.
Well,
you don't have authority. You're just being dumb.
Think about this. The story in one of the Samuels, I think, of it'd be Second Samuel, David's mighty men, where David was like, I really want water from the well in my hometown, and it's now behind enemy lines. And so what did the mighty men do? I don't think he even ordered them. They're like, we want to please our king, so we're going to go get it. So they break through enemy lines. And if you read the story, this is better than any Marvel movie you'll ever see.
Yeah.
It's one of my...
And one of them may have been a lion-headed man.
Yeah.
Just throw that out.
Yep. Yep. It really, really could have been.
Based on the original language.
Basically, all they do is break through enemy lines because they're that badass. And if you read the story, you understand what I mean. They go to this well. They get and nobody dies on their side. They get this, it's just water from the well where David grew up, and they bring it back to him, and he was so pleased. But the image I have in my head is when you have, they were his mighty warriors. Like, think big, strong, armored, men. And they went behind enemy lines. They weren't hurt, and they came back. So when you're armored, you're equipped, and you're trained, when you go behind enemy lines and you're the baddest mother effer there, like, not bad, but you know what I mean. People will understand what I mean. You're the biggest and the baddest that there is. You're not going to get those attachments. But when you go in starved spiritually, not armored, not equipped, without your spiritual weaponry, without the connection to the full strength of our Heavenly Father, yeah, they're going to come after you. You're easy pickings. It's happened to me. It happened to your friend. It's probably happened to you. It's happening to people every day. You know, you have to become one of the Father's mighty men if you're going to walk where devils trot. You know?
I got cursed by a witch because I had a portal, an access point, that their influence could come into. I'm still not exactly sure what that access point was. It was asked to me the other day, like, they can only do that to you if you have an access point. What was the access point?
Right.
I believe that access point's closed now with the work that I've done, but I'm still not 100% sure mentally what that particular access point was, but I was cursed and it almost killed me. And that's just the truth of the matter. That was revealed to me in the spirit. Like, my illnesses didn't make any sense to any doctors. There's no reason I should have been as sick as I was. And I did all the health stuff that was supposed to make me better. I tried the medication. They didn't work. They made me worse. So I got rid of those. I tried all the health stuff. That made me better, but not whole. And now after spiritual deliverance, I'm becoming whole. Not there yet, but becoming. I just from a few months ago, the strength in my body and the resiliency of my body is insane in comparison. I just worked 9 days straight, and though I wanted to strangle someone towards the end of it, I was mentally cracking. My body has done very, very well. And I was exhausted. I've been sore. I'm sore today after that stretch. But just the fact, I could barely work 2 days in a row because my feet hurt so bad at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And my hands couldn't function. The skin on my hands is raw. And I just worked 9 days straight. And I'm like, yeah, I feel pretty good. That's a miracle. You know, like from where I was to where I am, and that's from spiritual deliverance. We've been doing other health stuff as well that's benefiting my body, but it's the spiritual deliverance that has been like the major game changer.
Yeah.
And having the armor, equipping armor daily, twice a day, sometimes three times a day, over me and my wife. It's changed everything. Like, I don't know, we could go on that forever, but I have another question for you, unless you have something else for all of that.
I was going to say, we gotta, well, let's do this question and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
Yep. Cause we're getting up there in time.
I've got a wrap up statement too, that I'm going to start adding possibly on every podcast.
Okay.
Question. I once had someone tell me that it doesn't necessarily matter what you do. It matters your intent behind it. How do you feel about that?
Was I the one that said that to you?
Only on almost every podcast for the first 15 or so.
Yeah. No, I still believe intention is a very serious part of everything, but I don't believe that it doesn't matter what you do anymore. No, there are very specific things that you, and we just talked about a whole bunch of them, but, you have to be careful of your intention because you get into, and I don't know if we talked about this in the pre-roll or in the podcast, but you have to be careful of your intention because you're going to start wishing curses on people. If you know, you're doing certain stuff with the intention, you know, and that's where you need to be asking for forgiveness, not just for yourself, but other people and yada, yada and all that. But yeah, so I don't fully believe that anymore. No.
I felt that earlier. I was like, I feel like I need to ask it where everyone can hear it, because it's something you've said a lot, and I've always been like, I think intention's important, because it's like, you know, we've talked about pray to God, to the best of your ability. He'll get it. And then as you understand, pray to the right address. But before you understand, just pray. And as you understand, pray to the right address. And then as, you know, like it refines as your knowledge increases. But intention is important. If you're trying to pray to the Father and you have no idea what you're doing, and you just go, God, help me. And it's the first time you've ever called out, and that's all you know. That's all you can say. That's all you understand. He hears your prayer, and he will send help. It's not going to be an instant, perfect process. It's going to take time, but like that intention does matter. But you can't have good intention while wishing versus people and expect it to go, you know. Like, and so you used to say that, and I was like,
I don't think I ever said intention is and doesn't matter what you do. I feel like it was along those lines, but it wasn't exactly like that. But I get what you're saying.
Well, because you didn't say you could curse people or anything like that, but like you made it sound like even if it's wrong, like he'll correct you. The intention's what really matters. I'm like, yes, but
yeah. No, that was deception. I've had a lot of veils taken off of me. And I think, like I said, I'm not sure if it was in the pre-roll or if it was in the podcast, but these prayers, I think it was in the pre-roll. Talking about these prayers from Daniel Duvall's books is that my prayer life was really difficult just the day before I started doing this and before that. It was difficult to want to take the time and pray and spend time in prayer. And then I hear in a podcast recently that this guy's like, I prayed for 23 hours straight. Do you know what that does to your life? And I'm like, oh, what? What? How do you even do that? But then I get these books and it really breaks down what terminology you should be using and how it covers so much. And the other night I told you, I spent three and a half hours in prayer, just following Jesus's guide for what he wanted me to pray about, healing and blessings and cleansings and all these different things out throughout my life. And 3.5 hours go by and it didn't really, like, it was a lot. There was a couple parts that I'm not going to lie that were more battle-y than prayer. And maybe we'll get into deeper talk about what actually happened, but on the cast eventually, but because I got done with it. And it is summer here and it's not a hot summer, but it's been summer here, but I was like dripping sweat. I was inside of my house, in my basement, outside of my house, doing all these different prayers and just following, you know, Jesus's guide through it. And by the end of it, I was like, oh, that was a whole thing. That was a whole thing. And there was no, oh my gosh, I just wasted 3.5 hours, or oh man, I don't want to do that. Like, it was amazing. So yeah, what you're doing, your intention, both very much matter now. And what you're saying too, because I was trying to find the right words. I was trying to structure my prayers off of the Lord's Prayer. Like, I don't think you should just rattle off the Lord's Prayer 1,000 times and it should be, and that's all you need. I don't believe in prayer like that. But I was trying to structure it that way because obviously Jesus prayed that way. So in my head, it's like that's a good structure. Like, you should, you know, run off of that as a foundation. But the way that these books put out the prayer and really how they just, they cover your ass in every single direction. And there's something I want to talk to you about off pod about that. But yeah, so I hope that answers your question. Yes, I do think it, what you do matters. But that was when I still had hooks in me from the New Age, and that's a very New Age, you know, thought. And so, no, you're right. That was wrong of me. And I hope that people who listen to this podcast first, God, I got to figure out how to get rid of some of those early episodes. But we talk about going to podcasts and listening to them from episode one. This is a journey podcast. Like, this is, we have went through a journey. I've went through a journey through co-hosts, and I've got Lucas now, and I hope he stays, and I think he has a plan to, but You know, I went through a journey of co-hosts. I went through a journey of beliefs. And that's what this always was meant to be, was just to talk about spirituality stuff and what we believe. That was my original goal. And, like, I'm interested in conspiracy theories and cryptozoology and all that. And we talk about it a little bit. It's still there. There's still, you know, tinges of it here and there. But what this podcast was a journey podcast about spiritual beliefs. And that's what it is today. I just feel like it's 4,000 times better than the first episode.
Yes. And so I brought that whole thing up to give you a chance to nullify what you said, to make a counter statement. Essentially, that's kind of what I felt in the spirit, was that this had been said and here's a chance to make a counter statement.
I think I've done some of those, not necessarily for this one, but I have in other episodes been like, this is what I said before, and I believe this now. Like, I want to make that clear. I don't want to just have everything be in the background, because this is a podcast about my spiritual journey. So ours, but in my head, like, I, you know, my goal is to share my spiritual journey so other people can see that, one, if you're going through some of this stuff, you're not crazy and you're not alone. But two, that it can be out there sometimes, you know. So I have taken back in other episodes. I feel like more recently.
Yeah, you have. I mean, you've done that with a lot of stuff. And I've tried to as well. I know I'm sure I've said all sorts of different things that I would disagree with now, that I said just a few months ago. I say a lot of things that I don't even necessarily agree with when I say them. I'm just saying them because, like, here's information. Here's things that I've heard. And I'll say things in a way that sounds like that's really what I believe, and it's not necessarily. But just to get stuff out there. And so, like, you know, if I have any of those things really come to mind, I'll do the same thing. I'll say I was wrong. You know, I've been told my entire life I'm arrogant and would, you know, can never admit when I'm wrong. People would be arguing with me and like, oh, you just can't admit you're wrong. And like, you haven't proven me wrong. Prove me wrong and I'll admit it. You made a stupid argument that didn't prove wrong what I said. So if you want to prove me wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong. But it's funny because people warned Jenna, my wife, about that. A few people that knew me really well. And she's like, you admit you're wrong to me all the time. I'm like, yeah, because you proved me wrong. You are my match in this life. You are the one that holds me to account for what I say and what I do more than anyone else I've ever met. And it's true. And I admit I'm wrong to her at least a few times a week, sometimes multiple times a day, which is like a miracle to some people. But I'm like, you have proved me wrong. Like, you know. But anyway, all I say, like, I'm not too proud to say I was wrong. This is a journey. I'm learning a lot of stuff, and I was wrong about a lot of stuff, especially when you were talking about Taoism and Buddhism. And, like, there's a lot of interesting principles in that because they draw from realities of this world that Christianity doesn't want to touch with the central pole. And we talked a couple weeks ago about incantations and spells and how essentially prayers are holy incantations and spells, and there's certain formulas that can be used to enact change in the world in a holy way instead of in a corrupt and perverted way. That episode where I called Satan pervert like 100 times.
Yeah, don't be an asshole to Jesus. That's how I put it. Yeah.
I love calling Satan a pervert. It feels so good on my tongue. Like
that
Satan the pervert.
Felt weird.
The master saying it that way. He's a pervert of perverts. The master perverter. It just feels so good. anyway. I'm just rambling now, but I just wanted to give you a chance to know that essentially was what that was.
No, and I appreciate that. And I think soon we're gonna talk about more of the Archie and what it is. You've given it a little bit of a go in here, but I'm starting to understand it more. I like how, one thing that I wanted to mention before we get off air is a belief that I have that archangels are guardian angels, bosses, basically. And this isn't all their only purpose, but I, in my belief, I know that archangels are sons of God. I don't know if guardian angels are the same race. I know that they answer to the archangels, and I get that from things I've heard, things we've talked about, and things I've experienced. We brought it up earlier, and it's just been on my mind ever since. So I just wanted to throw out there that that's where I believe it. And maybe guardian angels are watchers, keepers. You know, everybody's going to know the term watcher better than keeper angel, but
you know, yeah.
So, but cause I do, the whole community puts a lot of hate on watchers, and it's like, yeah, they kind of started a lot of the bad things, but, it was only 200 of them. So there's more out there that are still in alignment. Just like when they talk about, and I don't know which, I don't even know if it's in the main canon, but the was it a third of the heavenly bodies fell?
I think that's in Revelation.
Something like that. I wasn't sure if it was in the Apocrypha or if it was in the canon somewhere. But so that wasn't all of them that did that, that did the bad things that set us on the, you know, the road to the flood. But
it wasn't half of them.
It wasn't half of them.
It wasn't even half of them. It's the point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. People that think the enemy is so strong, like, get all of the angels that fell, not counting those that are in prison. I guess some of them are in prison. I guess the way to say that, some of them have been in prison. There's scriptures about that.
Right.
So there's less than a third out there to do anything. The ones in prison, you know, they probably, it's like mafiosa style, like they've got their minions out there doing stuff for them. But even if all of them were supreme powerful beings, there's still two thirds that were not fallen.
Right.
So numbers are still on our side. Right.
Well, there's scripture actually, and I don't know the references, but they're in. That's one thing I like about Dan Duval's books with the prayers is that they have scriptural references that they put in the prayer saying, we added this to the prayer because we found this in the Bible. And somewhere there's a just like that where they say something, and I wish I could remember what prayer it was and actually read it, but I don't want to take the time because we need to wrap it up. But, you know, it says that our numbers are greater, and not in that exact terminology, but it does. It just says that we have more on our side, and then it gives a scriptural reference of where you can find that in the canon 66. So it's real. It's real. It's out there. It's, you know, we're winning this. You know, it's going to look like we're losing it for a while longer. I think it's going to get worse because that's kind of what the Bible says, But in the end, we're winning this, and it's going to be amazing. So get on the side.
Amen. You know?
So
the scriptures also say, "Greater is the one inside, living inside of me, than he who is in the world."
Yep.
Which is important because that's not even about numbers. That's just about who Christ is and the fact that he is greater than the enemy. So even if the enemy had more numbers, which it doesn't, we'd still be stronger. Because of who
are. Yep. The power source. Anybody connected to him has the power to do better than the enemy. So.
Oh, man, I got to see the power source a few weeks ago.
Right. We're wrapping it up. We'll talk about that later.
I'm not going to go into that. But, oh, man.
We'll start the next podcast with Lucas's experience with the power source. I know what you're talking about, but I think it would be cool to talk about it on the pod. So, but
yeah.
With that, everybody, thank you for being here. Did you have one more thing to say?
I got one more thing to cap it all off. Psalm 24:1.
Okay.
The earth is Yahweh's, or the Lord's, yep, and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. I brought it up before, but this creation is eminent domain of the Father. It is his, and he can take it back whenever he wants. He's got a plan. And even though the rulers of this world think they've got it all figured out and they're so powerful and they can do whatever they want, that is not true. And when he comes back to take it back, it'll be like kicking some rats out of your basement. Like, it, you know, he's going to open the door, say get out, they're going to leave or they're going to be destroyed. It's not a challenge. Like, when he shows up, when he comes back, read Revelation. Mm-hmm. When those trumpets are called, when those seals are unsealed, the things that happen to get rid of the enemy are going to be so profound that there will be no trace of him left in existence in creation. And the other verse that comes to mind, is, I just couldn't find the reference, but it's all creation groans waiting for the awakening, for the revealing of the sons of God. Mm-hmm. We are those sons of God who are waking up. As we wake up and we realize that the dominion is our Father's, we are sons as heirs of creation, heirs of the earth. We inherit the earth from our Father because it is his to give to us. And we start taking back the domain that has been given to us. The enemy can't stand against that. The creation is groaning in wait, just like, awaken, like, come back, do your job, release us from this oppression that we're in. And so as this is happening, I think we are in, like, the final great awakening of this creation, as we awaken into the end when the enemy returns. And I'm not saying we're going to be the ones that see it, to be our kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, who knows? But, like, we're coming into that awakening where Jesus will return with the armies of heaven and cleanse this planet, and we will, from the earth, like, cleanse the entire universe of all the crap that the enemy has done. Mm-hmm. All of creation groans and waits. Like, it's a big deal.
Romans 8:22 and 20-23, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body.
That's not the one I was referring to, but that's referring to the same thing.
Yeah, it is. It's referring to the same thing.
Yeah.
So.
All right, I'm done talking.
All right. With that, we'll see you next week, everybody. Thanks for sticking around this long. Appreciate it.
Say a little prayer for Mud Buncher for us, poor guy.
Oh, Mud Buncher.
Thanks for listening to the Redacted Recover Your Mind podcast. For more episodes, click the link in the description.
Father in heaven, I come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, because I have been invited to come boldly before your throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. I resist oppression that has come against me in my house and lift up a shout of praise. I glorify you and your majesty and declare that there is no one like you. The name of Jesus is the name above every name, at whose name every knee must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth.
See, now, this is what I'm talking about. You guys need to really stop that. It's not okay on our side.